So we're getting here with the Mishnah, the new Perek, on the bottom of Samach Yamud Bet. Ele dvarim shebapesach dochim et haShabbat. These items with regards to Korban HaPesach and dochet et haShabbat. Number one is shchitato. Shchitat haPesach, in order to do Korban HaPesach, obviously you have to do shchita, and that is dochet et haShabbat. Zrikat damo. Zrikat damo, really, there's no issue of Chilul Shabbat involved with it. It was just brought down. With shchita, zrika, they threw it together. Umichui kravav, and the cleaning out or the emptying of its innards in order that it doesn't rot or go bad. So we allow you to clear that out. Haktarat chavav, the putting on the mizbeach of the fats. Aval, tzliato, the roasting of the animal. Vadachat kravav, and the rinsing out of its innards. Inam tochim et haShabbat, because those are both considered to be tzarech hadyot. Those are not necessity of hekdesh, but rather necessity of the people that are eating the korban haPesach. Tosafot does point out that we know that hefshet of the animal is dochet et haShabbat, because we just saw in the previous Mishnah that they used to hold it up and used to flay it in order to get the innards, to get the fats out of it. So he says either that's included already in the haktarat chalavav, that the putting of the chalavim, you need the shefshet in order to get theirs, so that's assumed to be subsumed in that halacha, or because you actually do regular hefshet, you have to do some sort of shinu in the hefshet, so maybe it's not considered to be a real violation of Shabbat because of that shinu, and that's why the Mishnah doesn't mention it. Harkavto, vavato michutz l'tchum, carrying it on your back, or bringing it from outside of the tchum, hatichas yivalto, and cutting off any wart or marking on it that would cause it to be problematic in terms of a bal mum, ain't dochim et haShabbat, none of those are dochet et haShabbat. Harkavto, carrying it on your back, because chay no seet atzmo, so that's only an iser derabanan. Chutz l'tchum, most likely is only an iser derabanan. And hatichat yivalto, if you do it with your teeth or with your nails, would also only iser derabanan. Despite the fact that it's only an Isur Derabanan, in Dochim et haShabbat. They're not Dochim et haShabbat in order to accomplish the Korban HaPesach. Rabbi Lezer Omer, Dochim. Rabbi Lezer says, no, they are Dochet. They're only Isur Derabanan. Why can't we violate them in order to do the Pesach? Rabbi Lezer, lo dinu, it's a Kal v'chomer. Maim Shchita Shimushu Melacha. When you talk about Shchita, that's a real Av Melacha, Dochet haShabbat. There we say that it overrides Shabbat. Elohim Shimun Shum Shavut. These things are only in Isur Derabanan. Why lo yitchot the Shabbat? I wouldn't be dochet the Shabbat. Why can't you violate Yisrei Derabban? If you're weak to violate Yisrei Doraita, Torah laws, in order to do the Korban HaPesach, why can't we violate Yisrei Derabbanan in order to accomplish the Korban HaPesach? Amalei Rabbi Yoshua, Yom Tov Yochiyach. We have that exactly, the same scenario by Yom Tov. Sheitiru bo mishum acha, vasur bo mishum shvut. We have, in terms of Yom Tov, you have Ochel Nefesh. Eter Ochel Nefesh allows you to do certain melachot, absolute melachot, there always melachot on Shabbat. Yet, the Chachamim still kept their Isurei Derabanan that apply on Yom Tov. We still have Isurei Derabanan, we still have Shvut on Yom Tov. What are you talking about? There's a big difference. Over there you're talking about things that are optional, things that have to do with lay people. Over here we're talking about something that is a mitzvah. So over there you're right. By Yom Tov I can understand what was Mutar Midoraita, that's Mutar Midoraita. But things that are Isur Midrabanan, there's no reason to allow you to do them because it's for your own personal gain. It's your own personal benefit. That we're not going to allow. But over here, when we're talking about a mitzvah of doing the Korban HaPesach, then maybe the Chachamim waive their Shvut in the face of the mitzvah of Korban HaPesach. Why would you say, just because Yom Tov has it that way, that by Korban HaPesach it should be the same? So, hey, Shiv Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva jumps in now. Vamar, Hazah Tuchiyach. Hazah should prove it. Hazah is the sprinkling on the individual to make them tahor. So that is only a problem midrabanan. There's nothing wrong. There's no malacha in sprinkling on a person. The problem we have midrabanan is it's tikkun gavra. It makes the person now, changes his status. So we say that the changing status is like metakin mana, metakin gavra, binyan, changing the status of an individual, like going to the mikveh and becoming tahor. Putting the azah on is a mixed chazek, metakin gavra. It's like you're fixing the individual. And so because of that, the Chachamim were usir haza'ah on Shabbat. So now it turns out that if you have ever Pesach that falls down on Shabbat, and the only this individual to bring a Korban HaPesach is to have haza'ah. He's tamei right now. In order to get tahor, he needs to have this sprinkling done on him. If that's the case, we have haza'ah, which only a shvut, it's only an isur derabanan, and yet we're not dochet to Shabbat. We prevent this person from doing the Korban HaPesach because of an isur derabanan on Shabbat, that we don't allow haza'ah on Shabbat. So he says, Afata al ititama, you should not be surprised or caught off guard by the fact that Elusha af bishem mishum mitzvah, even though these items, yes, they are a mitzvah, v'hem mishum shvot, and they're isurei derabanan, lo yitchot haShabbat. They won't be docher Shabbat. Hazah is a mitzvah. Doing the Korban of Pesach is a mitzvah. Yet, Hazah itself is blocked. We don't allow you to do the Hazah in order to mafshir, to allow this individual to bring the Korban of Pesach. And it's Shabbat. Amar lo Rabbi Lezer, vale anidan. I disagree with you on that point as well. That's exactly the problem. You're bringing a proof from something that I disagree with. It says, Mayim shchita shimishum alocha duchet Shabbat. Shchita, which is an Issa do right, is doche Shabbat for Korban HaPesach. Hazah shimushum shvot, they don't dinsha doche to Shabbat. Certainly, in Ochanami, Hazah should not be blocking this individual. We should do Hazah on Shabbat. I agree with your premise. So Amar lo Rabbi Akiva, Ochiluf. Maybe you want to say the other way around. Mayim hazah shimushum shvot, they don't doche to Shabbat. Hazah, that is a problem, the Rabbanan, we say is not doche to Shabbat. Shchita shimushum lacha. Shchita, which is an Issa do right, they don't dinsha lo doche to Shabbat. So certainly that should not be dochet to Shabbat. Maybe you shouldn't be allowed to do the Korban Pesach at all on Shabbat. Amar lo Rabbi Lezer, Akiva, akarta ma shekatuv b'Torah. You undermine what's written in the Torah. Bim modo, ben b'chol, ben b'Shabbat. You have to bring the Korban Pesach in its time, whether it's a weekday, whether it's Shabbat. So we have a pasuk that explicitly says the Korban Pesach is on Shabbat. You bring it on Shabbat. You have to do shechita on Shabbat. So he says, Amar lo Rabbi, haveli moed le'elu k'moed l'shechita. Well, you have a moado to tell you about the melachot, the oraita, to say they're mutar on Shabbat. Bring me a moed that says that these three drabanan here are cleared. And where is the exemption or the pasuk that demands that you do this? Aklal Amar Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva explains his position here. Obviously, talking about these three drabanan, then they're not also mutar oraita. You're not going to have something that's matir them. So what's the principle that Rabbi Akiva is establishing here? Kom lachashev efshar lasotami erev Shabbat. Anything that can be done prior to Shabbat, enu docheret to Shabbat. That does not override Shabbat. Shchita, she'efshar lasotam, erev Shabbat. Shchita, that's impossible to do before Shabbat, dochet to Shabbat. So you have to divide the items up here into things that can be accomplished or done before Shabbat. The bringing of the animal to Shalayim, the making sure that it's not a baal mum. The hazza'ah, in some instances, can be done before Shabbat. And if they're not done before Shabbat, we're not going to allow you to violate Shabbat in order to do it. On the other things that have to be done on Shabbat, you can't shech the animal before the 14th. You don't have a choice. So you have to do it on Shabbat. That is Docha Shabbat. And that have equal applicability both with regards to Yisurei Deraita and possibly by Yisurei Debanan. Because you need something that is a Zman Kavua. You need something that's a fixed time in order to violate Shabbat. In order to violate Shabbat, you have to add this is the time for it and there is no other time. If there's another time for it, then it's not Docha Et HaShabbat. Tana Banan. Very interesting story, somewhat disconcerting in some ways, but an amazing story. Says Tan Rabbanan, Halachadu nita'ama mi bnei b'teira. So Rashi says, bnei b'teira were nisim in Eretz Yisrael at the time, and they forgot this halacha. Pamachat chal arbasar liot b'Shabbat. Turns out, Erev Pesach was on Shabbat, Pesach fell out on Sunday. Shachuchu v'liadu in Pesach tuchet Shabbat imlav. They couldn't remember the halacha. It hadn't happened for so long that they couldn't remember whether when Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbat, is it tuchet Shabbat? Now, many of the Rishonim and Achronim have a difficulty understanding how could it be that Bnei B'teira forgot halacha mifureshet, halacha psuka, it's found in our Mishnah, that Pesach is doche et Shabbat. So there are numerous answers given here as to what was the exact issue, whether one possibility is that they knew it was doche Shabbat, they just didn't know the source for it and they wanted the core. Number two is the possibility that a Pesach that was doche et Shabbat, you wouldn't have all the individuals bringing a korban Pesach, but rather you'd have a Pesach brought for everybody together, or you would have larger groups together to minimize the Chilul HaShabbat. Or another possibility is that they thought that you would have to fix the calendar in order to avoid the situation in which Erev Pesach would fall out on Shabbat. Should they have made it a leap year in order to prevent Erev Pesach from falling out on Shabbat? So they come up with all sorts of rechitimses to understand what the nuanced problem was here rather than the straightforward issue as to whether Pesach is dochet Shabbat, Korban Pesach is dochet Shabbat.
Amru, klum yesh adam sheyodeim Pesach dochet Shabbat imlav?
Is there anybody here who remembers the locha? They're like asking around, anybody know what the locha is? They didn't have the luach that told them what they were supposed to do, so they didn't know what to do here, right? Amru lahem, adam achad yesh alami bavel. This individual came from Bavel, v'hilal bavli shemo, v'hilal bavli sheshimei shnei gdolei ador. He was someone who learned by the two greats, the previous generation, Shmaya v'Avtalion. He would definitely know. He certainly knows the halacha. Shochovik Arulo, they called him in. Amrulo, kol matay yodeim pesach tochet Shabbat imlav. Do you know if it's tochet Shabbat or not? Malem, v'chi pesach echad yesh lanu b'shana shel tochet Shabbat. Pesach, only one pesach during the year that's tochet Shabbat. Alo arbe yoter mimatayim pesachim yesh lanu b'shana. More than 200 pesachim during the year that are tochet Shabbat. Amalo minayin lecha? Where do you know that from? What are you talking about? So Amalo em, ne'mar mo'ado b'pesach, ne'mar mo'ado b'tamid. The word mo'ado, which means in its time, is used by Pesach. The word mo'ado is used by tamid. Ma mo'ado amur b'tamid docheh shabbat mo'ado. That is said by the tamid, is docheh shabbat. We know the korban tamid is brought every day, including shabbat. So too the Mo'ado by Pesach teaches you that you bring it in its time, irrespective of what day of the week it is, whether it's Chol, whether it's Shabbat, you bring it. It's a fixed time to bring it, you gotta bring it.
Now the reason that Hillel said that there were 200 Pesachim during the year, Rashi says the calculation is such, which is that you have 50 roughly Shabbatot during the year. Each one of those Shabbatot has two Tmidim, gets you to 100. And each one of those Shabbatot also has two Musafim that come for Shabbat. So that is 200. So it's more than 200 times the year that you're Docheh to Shabbat. Others want to suggest that it has to do with just Musafim because you have the Musafei Shabbat, plus you have the Musafim of the other Yamim Tovim that fall out on Shabbat. So therefore there's more than 200 that are Docheh to Shabbat. In the Yerushalmi, they actually have three different opinions as to how many are Docheh to Shabbat, 100, 200, 300. And all of these calculations would matter. 100 is the two Tmidim for Shabbat during the year, 200 would be all the Tmidim plus the Musafim on Shabbat, and 300 would include also the Yamim Tovim on top of it.
In addition to that, it's a Kavachomer. The Tamid, which doesn't have a punishment of Karet, is Duchet Shabbat. Pesach Shanush Karet, and Udin Shalachet Shabbat. Certainly it should be Duchet Shabbat. They put him up the top, they made him into the Nasi. Obviously he was the man for the job. Here he knew the Halacha. And all day long, he was the Reish, the Hilchota Pesach. So once he got up there, he started to poke fun of them a little bit. He started to tell them, you know, you guys are a little lazy here, a little stubborn, you didn't get the Halacha, what's going on here? Why aren't you guys really Osik B'Torah? Who caused the fact that I had to come up from Bavel to take over here? And I had to become the Nasi to replace you? You guys were too lazy. Because you were not mishamesh. Had you been mishamesh then properly, you would have also known these halachot. Speaking to Hillel, now I ask him, he didn't bring the knife from Erev Shabbat. Mahu, what's the din? He says, I heard this halacha, but I forgot. So you know that this is Mida Keneged Mida, meaning that he started to poke fun of them because they had forgotten Halacha. So you know what's going to happen right away. He forgets the Halacha. So Elanech Lem Yisrael, a beautiful answer here. You know what? I don't remember the Halacha, but let's just wait till tomorrow. Im ein Neviim heim, b'nei Neviim heim. If they're not Neviim, b'nei Neviim, meaning that they know what to do. They're going to do what they have in Misarah, Mi'abu Tehem. We'll watch what they do, and when we see what they do, we'll know exactly what they've done in the past. So, L'machar, Mishi Piskot Le... Whoever had a sheep for their Korban HaPesach, they put it into the wool. They inserted it in the wool, the knife, and then the animal carried it along with it. Whoever had a goat, so it doesn't have wool to get the knife to stick it into, to hang it on there, put it on the horns, between the horns, and put it there. He saw what the people were doing, and he remembered the halacha. This is the Mesorah I have for Shmaya V'Elton. That's the way that you're allowed to bring the knife to the Beit HaMikdash. Now, this isn't so simple because you have a number of items here. Number one is the knives themselves. Why were they allowed to use the knives or their own knives to do shechita? Tosfos over here, he says, "Vimtomar habai kli sharet." It has to be a kli sharet. The knife itself has to be kli sharet. V'yesh lomar shikdishum hashta. That's not a problem. They could be makdish the knives later on. It's a very large Tosafot at the beginning of Ezra Koman in Zvachim who discusses this issue of whether the knives really have to be Kodesh or really have to be a Kli Sharet. He brings proofs to both sides there and he has a long discussion of whether the knife itself really has to be something that's Kodesh or what is the requirement for the knife of Hekdesh. Is it really a Kli Sharet or is it not a Kli Sharet? Over here he's assuming it is and that they were Makdish them and that's how they make the knives Ra'oi to use for the Korban. Number two is, he says, what's the problem here with carrying inside of Yerushalayim? We had in the Gemara in Eruvin. The Gemara in Eruvin said that Ilmalei shinyalu dalto to Yerushalayim, had not been for the fact that the gates of Yerushalayim closed, then Yerushalayim would have been a Rishut Rabim. But they did have gates, or the fact that they had the potential to close made it that Yerushalayim didn't have a Rishut Rabim. That's what the Gemara in Eruvin says. Not a Rishut Rabim. So what are they worried about the knives for? They could carry the knives. We don't have a Rishut Rabim here. Even if it's a Karbalit, they could do a Shituf, they could do an Eruv. They could have made it possible to carry the knives through Yerushalayim because you did not have a Rishut HaRabim. So what's the issue here at all? Tosafot answers here, similar to what he answers in the Gemara in Eruvin. There he's answering a different question, different stira. Is that Hayu Pratzot? That was before they broke breaches in the wall. At some point, they were broken into the wall of Yerushalayim, and then it was no longer an issue. There was a Rishut Rabim, because they couldn't close it in. It wasn't really closed in anymore. So he says that there were different periods of time. Periods of time where Yerushalayim did not have a Rishut Rabim. Periods of time where it did have a Rishut Rabim.
As to why, with regards to the Pesach being doche et Shabbat, the Gemara didn't say, and just let's see what the people do the next day. There are a number of reasons why they may not have done that. Number one is, because we said before, the question might not have been as to whether Korban Pesach is Dochet HaShabbat, but something more nuanced. And that more nuanced question wouldn't have been answered by the fact that they did bring the Korban Pesach on Shabbat. In addition to that, it might be a difference between a Din D'Oraita and a Din D'Rabbanan. The fact that Korban Pesach is Dochet HaShabbat is a Din D'Oraita, we're not going to be somech on the practice of the Yam. Whereas here, we're talking about the carrying of the knife, which we're going to see on the upcoming Gemara, is only a Din D'Rabbanan. Over there, we're willing to be somech on the Minhag Ha'am. Lastly, it might be that that's only a last resort, which is that if we don't have a reason, then that becomes a last resort. So over here, in the previous case where they found Hillel and they had someone who knew the answer, so then they had the answer. Over here where they had nobody knew the answer, the last resort was to go, let's be someich on the people.
Now the Gemara goes back and says, Amamar, Nemar mo'odo b'pesach, v'nemar mo'odo b'tamid. Ma mo'odo amor b'tamid dochet ha-shabbat, af mo'odo amor b'pesach dochet ha-shabbat. B'tamid gufei minolan. How do we know the tamid itself is dochet shabbat? So this is where Tosafot makes this comment. Wait a minute, the word mo'ado seems to be sufficient. It's done bimo'ed, no matter what, whether it's kol or shabbat. Here the Gemara is looking for an alternative reason for why. They say mo'ado is the gzeirah shabbat, to take it from tamid to pesach. But besides that, you need a separate source within tamid, which is what bothers Tosafot, because later on the Gemara seems to think that mo'ado is sufficient to have the limud. He says, our Gemara, this Tana argues, which is, ilay mishum dechtiv bimo'ado, pesach nami haktiv bimo'ado. If you think the answer is because it says mo'ado by tamid, it also says mo'ado b'pesach. So why do you need a limud from tamid to pesach if the word mo'ado in itself means dochet ha-shabbat? So if you have that by tamid, then you have it by pesach. You don't need a zeirah shabbat at all. Mo'ado lo mashmale. Mo'ado doesn't mean that. Hachanami mo'ado lo mashmale. If it doesn't mean mo'ado, it doesn't help you by pesach, it doesn't help you by the tamid. Well, amakra, ulat shabbat bishabbato alulat tamid. So that's what we say in the musafim of every shabbat. It says that you bring the musafim of shabbat, Olat Shabbat b'Shabbato al Olat Tamid, in addition to the Olat Tamid. But certainly the Musafim of Shabbat are Dochei Shabbat, because they have to be brought on Shabbat. They are a Korban of Shabbat. But in speaking about Musafim, it says that the Musafim are brought in addition to the Korban Tamid, which indicates that the Korban Tamid was also brought on Shabbat. So here's your proof that it's Dochei Shabbat. B'chlal, Olat Tamid, Korva b'Shabbat, or Kreva b'Shabbat, that it's brought on Shabbat. Amamar, Vod Kal v'Chomer. We can undermine that Kal v'chomer. The Korban Tamid is a Nola, which is Kalil, goes entirely on the Mizbeach. And number two is it's Tadir. It happens on a more frequent basis. So maybe for that reason it's Dochet HaShabbat. So first of all, the Gemara says, Kal v'chomer Amar Luhu Bereisha, Upirchua. V'hadar Amar Luhu Gzer Shava. So he didn't say the Gzer Shava and then the Kal v'chomer, because that doesn't make sense. If the Kal v'chomer is broken, then why do you bring it afterwards? So the answer is, he brought the Kal v'chomer, he told them, this is the Kal v'chomer. They undermined the Kal v'chomer by saying, look, that's not a good Kal v'chomer, and then he brought them Gzer Shava. If he had the Gzer Shava up, you know, the ace in his, up his sleeve, why is he talking about a Kal v'chomer? He says to them, Bishlam Gzer Shava lo gamritu. A Gzer Shava you cannot make on your own. Gzeirah Shavah is something you need bin Misorah. You have to have a Misorah for it. Otherwise, well, you can't go and make up your own Gzeirah Shavot. Because this is something that defies logic in a sense. Gzeirah Shavah is something where you're bringing information from one halacha to another halacha without any logical connection or without the fact that it makes sense. It could actually be counterintuitive in some cases. Kavachomer is all premised on logic. So the logic has to hold up. That means that a person can make a Kal v'chomer on their own because that is a logical argument. And if it stands the test of logic, then it's a good Kal v'chomer. So you buy the chul meidan. That you should have done on your own. So listen, I understand why you don't have the gzer shovel, but the Kal v'chomer at least you should have made on your own. And you should have come to the same conclusion without me. So Amar lei Kal v'chomer pichahu. And then that's what they responded to him, that your Kal v'chomer is not a good Kal v'chomer. So once they undermined the Kal v'chomer, then he put them the Gzeir Shav and said, oh, this is the halacha. But at first he tried to press them and say, you should have known this, should have known better because of the Kal v'chomer. Okay, Amar, the Machar, Mishi Piskol, Tle, Tochem lo Bitzimro, Gdi, Tochem lo Ben Karnav. So they said the next day, they went ahead and they brought the knives on the Behemah. Where it says, Vaha, Ka'avid, Avoda, Bekodoshim. Aren't we now utilizing the Kodoshim to do Avoda? And there's a restriction, Avlo, to Avoda, Bebuchor Shorecha. You're not allowed to do Avoda, you're not allowed to work with Kodoshim. Ki Hillel, it's like Hillel, the Tanya, Amru, Allah, Hillel, Mirmav, Loma, Allah, Dambi, Olato. He never had Mi'ilah with his Oda. He brings it as chulin to Azara, and he's only makdish it right before he's going to shecht it. So he prevents that problem. He doesn't leave any opportunity for me'ilah, because he's not makdish it early on. So then he does his smicha b'shochata. So the same thing over here. What are they going to do? They're going to bring their psachim to the mikdash, and when they bring it to the mikdash, they'll be makdish it on the spot. So then you don't have any problem with bringing the knives using the animal, because it's not kodesh until you get there. Mar says, Pesach b'Shabbat, hechi matzi makdish le. Wait, it's Shabbat. So you can't be makdish things on Shabbat. We have a Mishnah in Beitza, that's not. Ein makdishin, ve'ein marichim, ve'ein machrimim, ve'ein magbim, chuma, masrot. Kol yom tov avru kal v'chomer b'Shabbat. These are all things that are involved. You can't be makdish. You can't do marichim, erech. You can't do erech kloni, erech zeh. That's the arachin. You can't do on Shabbat. Ein machrimim, you can't donate money. You can't make something hektesh, l'shamayim, on Shabbat, ein magbim chuma masrot. You can't take off chuma masrot. These items for different reasons. Some of them look like mechach memkar. Some of them look problems that you might write it down. Other things like ein magbim chuma masrot. You can't be free chuma masrot. Looks like you're metaking davar because now you make it edible on Shabbat. So all these are restricted. But you see clearly that ein magdishim, which is restricted on Yom, is also restricted on Shabbat. It says honey mili b'chavot shein kavod ayam zman. That's only things that I don't have a fixed time. B'chavot shekavod ayam zman magdishim. Something that's an obligation of the day. You can do on the day. So that's Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Makdish Adam and Pisco B'Shabbat, Chagigato B'Yom Tov. First you can Makdish is Pesach on Shabbat, and his Chagiga on Yom Tov. Obviously Pesach never falls down on Yom Tov, so you never be Makdish your Pesach on Yom Tov. The only time you may Makdish Pesach is on Shabbat, because it's always Erev Pesach. It never falls out on Yom Tov. So that's not an issue. And you can Makdish Chagigato B'Yom Tov, because the Chagiga is brought on Yom Tov, it's not brought on Shabbat, on Chagiga. So that's why Rabbi Yochanan gave those examples. So that we've gotten rid of that problem now, because it's a something that's kavul osman as a different din than what Gemara and Beitza is, because it's for today, it's right away you're going to use it, that you can be makdish. Tosafot brings over here, this is the way the Bavli answers the problem, in terms of doing work with the Korban of Pesach, because it says it's not a problem, you only makdish it after the fact. He says in the Yushalmi, they give a different answer, and says that depends if it's petzorach ha-karban or eno tzorach ha-karban. That if something is done for the tzorach, the animal itself, for the tzorach ha-karban, it's not considered to be doing a voda with the korban. They bring examples from the para aduma, that you could do things for the para aduma, even though technically they're avoda, and you're not allowed to do avoda with the para aduma, you're allowed to do it if it's for protection of the para aduma, or it's for the sake of the para aduma tzma. And so through that, the Yushalmi proves that you could have korbanot, that you do avoda with them as long as it's for their own sake, which is here, the knife is for the purpose of the korban, and therefore it's not considered to be an avoda that's problematic in terms of korban ha-pesach. So he just brings that the Yushalmi has an alternative answer to this, versus what we have here in the Bavli, which says that they want to makdish it after the fact. In the Yushalmi, they said that if it's an avoda that's for the sake of the korban, then that's not considered to be an avoda that we worry about. The other thing Tosafot asks is, don't we have a problem of chulin ba'azara? Which is that you're not allowed to bring chulin into the azara. It's one of the restrictions. That's why we don't allow you to bring korbanot, besafek, and things like that, because you're not allowed to be machnis chulin azara. So he says that this is an exception to that rule, because you're not allowed to bring chulin to the azara. That's when you intend to put the chulin into the avoda with what otherwise would be the chulin. Then we have a problem with it. But here, where you're bringing the korban in order to be makdishit in that makom, that's not a problem of bringing chulin to the azara. Because your intent is not to put the chulin on the mizbeach. Your intent is to make it kodesh before it gets on the mizbeach. So he says that is a difference between mikrim, where we say this is mechnis chulin azara, versus over here, where it's considered to be okay because the chulin that you're taking in, you're going to turn into kodesh inside of the mikdash. So now we dealt with the issue of makdishit and avoda bekodashim. Now, what about halo mechamer? Isn't there a problem, a separate problem of avoda and Shabbat, which is that you're driving an animal, you have the animal to go, you can't carry it, you have to drive the animal there, and he's carrying a load. That's exactly called mechamer on Shabbat. You have a load on his back, driving the animal. Mechamer kelachar yad. It's really mechamer kelachar yad. Mechamer kelachar yad, namin, he surah deraita lech, he surah derabanan miyika. Okay, if you do a kelachar yad, you do a shinoi. You got rid of the problem, mi deoraita. So that here you're carrying a knife. This is not the normal way to carry a knife on the back of an animal. You don't stick it into its wool or between its horns, so it's not the normal way to do it. So it's not the normal way to do it. You're right, you got rid of the problem of Isur Doraita, but that just drops it down to an Isur Derabanan. And once we have an Isur Derabanan, Isur de Rabbanan is a problem on Shabbat. So now he says, I know the Kabbai Minei. That's exactly the question that they were asking. B'nei B'teira, when they were asking Hillel, this was the question they were asking him. Davar she'esh lo heter min ha-Torah, v'davar shvut omed l'chav lo'akro. He says, something that's muter min ha-Torah, meaning mechamer k'lachar yad, but it has a davar shvut, it's still an Isur de Rabbanan. So then, k'lachar yad b'mokum mitzvah mai. Here, where it's a ka'achar yad, and it's a makom mitzvah, what's the din? Amalein halacha su shamati shachachti. I heard this halacha, and I forgot about it. Elei nicho lahem l'Yisrael, enem nevi'im heim, b'nei nevi'im heim. That's exactly his answer. Let's see what the people do. Now, what's interesting over here is that we just had in the Mishnah that we're mamid shvut, b'makom mitzvah. We don't like to violate any isur derabanan. So how come all of a sudden over here we're allowing you to violate an Isur derabanan? Rashi says that it's different than a regular Shvut, because it's Kila Achar Yad, and Kochol Achar Yad Lo Shchicha. So that's number one. This is a lower form of Shvut, it's a lower form of Isur derabanan, because it's something that is unusual, it's something that's not the normal way to do it, and number two, there's a mitzvah. So if I combine those two things together, I get down to a point where this is a Shvut, or an Isur derabanan, that we possibly would allow you to violate on Shabbat. So as opposed to the other shvutim that are mentioned in the Mishnah, these are shvut that are regular ways to do these things, and they're problematic on Shabbat, and it's not necessarily a makom mitzvah. Some places it is makom mitzvah. There we're not going to allow you to violate it. In other instances like this, where you have a weaker shvut, I mean that even mechamer as a doraita is not chayav like the other melachot on Shabbat. Mechamer is in a separate category from the other melachot on Shabbat, and then you made it into kalachayad, you dropped it down a level to a shvut, and kalachayad, which lo shchiach. Once you've dropped down the Isur to a much lower level, makom mitzvah, and over here they were matir. Tosfot over here also notes, what they say in our Mishnah, that the distinction in Shavuot is whether you can do it for Erev Shabbat, and the knives could have been brought in Erev Shabbat. Says over here that maybe there's a difference between you yourself versus your Be'ima. Shavuot that deals with you is more chamur than a Shavuot that deals with a Be'ima. Because of that distinction, again, it's a lighter form of Shavuot here, and therefore they were willing to waive it for makom mitzvah for Korban HaPesach. Tosafot said this on the daf, yesterday's daf as well, which is something that we said over and over again in the Gemara in Eruvin, which is even though in general we say Ein Shvut B'Migdash, and when it comes to Kodashim, maybe there's no Dinei Derabanan as a problem, he says that that's not a given, and that's not an absolute term. There's certainly Yisrei Derabanan where the Chachamim wanted to uphold the Din, despite the fact that it was only a Shvut, and they said the Shvut applies in the Migdash anyway, and there are other times where they waive the Shvut. So it's not like there's a plow or a principle that you can establish here. It depends on the Shvut. So over here they did waive the Shvut because of the nature of the Shvut. In other cases they did not waive the Shvut. Now the Gemara moves on into a little bit of a Gadata, but reflects what happened with Hillel. Remember Yudha Marav, call him Mityaher, person who is haughty, someone who raises themselves up like a peacock, Imchachamhu, Hachmato mistakalet mimenu. If he's a chacham, his chokhmah, his wisdom leaves him. Im navihu, if he's a navi, nivuato mistalek mimenu. Im hachmato mistalek mimenu. If he's a wise man, his wisdom leaves him. Emi Hillel. That's exactly what just happened with Hillel. Hillel, after they appointed him the nasi, he started to act in a slightly haughty manner. He started to be a little bit patronizing towards them. The fact, oh, you didn't learn this. How come you didn't find, you weren't mishamesh? Mayav avtalion like I did. Sure enough, right after that, what happens? He forgets the halacha. I mean, that's a midah connected midah. Damar mar, hitchil mikanchan bidvarim. He started to push them a little bit, poke fun of them about this. V'kamadu halacha zu shemati v'shachachti. And right away afterwards, he says, this halacha I heard, but I forgot it. He was taken down, in a sense. I mean, that he tried to bring himself up and elevate himself, and as soon as he did that, the midah connected midah, he was taken back down. If it's in Inavi, the Navi loses their nevuah midvorah. This is from Dvorah. In Shirat Dvorah, it says, Dichtiv. Over there, she gives a little history in her Shirat Dvorah beforehand about all the people that came before her. And then it says, Chadu Prazon b'Yisrael Hadelu. Ad Shekamti Dvorah, Shekamti Em b'Yisrael. That Prazon here comes from the word Prazi, or Paruz. Paruz means an unwalled city. Cities without fortifications. She says, Lupra zon b'Yisrael chadelu. There were no longer any unfortified cities in Israel. People were afraid to live out in the open. Things were so bad at this point in time that they were unwilling to live in areas that were not protected. Ad shekamti Dvorah, kamti em b'Yisrael, until I came along. I, Dvorah, came along until I was em b'Yisrael, a mother amongst Israel. Now, her point being that there was a whole history beforehand that nobody before was able to accomplish to rectify this problem. This is a huge turning point. She happens to be right. But it was a huge turning point in the fact that the defeat of Sisra changes the dynamic of Bnei Yisrael's ability to live here. Because it took away the problem of living basically in the valleys, because the valleys were controlled by the chariots, the iron chariots that Sisera had. These iron chariots were a problem because the Jews didn't have something to fight them with, and they basically couldn't be in the valley. They had to live up on the mountaintops. They had to live in areas where they were protected or fortified. Otherwise, they couldn't live. And this is a wholesale change in the defeat of Sisera in that issue, which is now they basically get a certain amount of freedom to live, and it changes the dynamic completely. So she is right about it, but the fact that she goes and says it and makes a whole point of it that everybody before couldn't do this and she could was a little bit of haughtiness. Uchtiv, and then it says, Uri, Uri, Dvora, Uri, Uri, Debri, Shir. So it sounds like Uri, Uri means awaken, awaken, Dvora, awaken, awaken, sing the song. Sounds like she fell asleep. Well, what do you mean she fell asleep? It means that she was scared to sing with a nevuah. A part of her nevuah, or part of her ruach hakodesh, that she started saying the shira, a certain amount of haughtiness in it, she lost her nevuah. She has to request it to come back. It says, Uri, Uri, Dvora, waken, waken, meaning, you come back, my nevuah. She lost it. Why did she lose it? Because she said something that was a little bit haughty. A person is angry, gets angry. If he's a wise person, his wisdom leaves him. If he's an avi, nevuato, mistaleket mi menu. If he's a wise person, his chokhmah leaves him. Mi Moshe. You know that from Moshe Rabbeinu Dichtiv. It says Moshe by the battle by Midian. He gets upset at the leaders of the battle because they brought back the women from the battle. He gets upset at them about that. And then subsequent to that, in Halachot, to deal with Klei Midian, it says, why was Elazar the one teaching the Halachot and not Moshe Rabbeinu Miklal? Moshe Alamine. Moshe forgot the halacha. Even though he was the source for the halacha originally, you see that, because Elazar quotes it in the name of Moshe. Despite that fact, Moshe forgot the halacha, and Elazar had to jump in to give the halachot. Why did Moshe forget the halacha? Because he was kawais. He got angry. So getting angry caused him a loss of a certain amount of wisdom. Im navihu, if he's a navi, nevuato mistaleket mimeno. His nevuah leaves him. Me'elisha. We have that from Isha. Dichtiv. It says, ulei pnei yoshofat melech yudan inosei imabit alech imarecha. So over here you have a battle against
Moab,
where they had attacked Melech Yisrael. They attacked Yehoram ben Achav of Israel. And Yoram wants to go to battle, and he calls in Yehoshaphat to help him out. Yehoshaphat, who's the king of Yehuda. King Yehuda, Yehoshaphat agrees to go, and he says, we're one people, we're one nation, let's go, and we'll come in and go to battle to you. They actually bring in Edom as well to help them out. They go into battle, and Elisha shows up. Elisha, the Navi that shows up at the time.
Because Yehoshaphat asks for one Navi Emet to come, and Elisha is the person that he calls in, who is the Talmid of Eliyahu.
And when he sees Yoram, he's so angry about it, he says, had it not been for the fact that Yehoshaphat is here, there's no way I would even come, I would even be present here. Because he's so angry about Yoram, about the way that he's behaving, and the way that he's taking Israel, meaning that he's Chotel Machti B'nai Israel, following the ways of his father. He says that had it not been for Yehoshaphat, I wouldn't do anything, but you see that he's angry. And then as subsequent that it says, that he has to have someone play music in order for him to calm down and soothe him, to bring him back to his previous state in order to have nevuah. Meaning that until that point he had lost nevuah. He was so upset about the fact that Yoram is there and that he only acquiesces to have nevuah or be a party here because of Yehoshaphat and not because of the others that are there. But here I think chaos is interesting. Anger in itself is an interesting thing. The Gemara in Shabbat says, someone who gets angry is as if they worship Avodah Zarah, because the idea being that chaos is a loss of control. It's a person's inability to stay within control, within the confines, and they're going to act out of control. So here, the loss of wisdom, or the loss of nevuah, is really a midah keneged midah, quid pro quo, meaning that this nevuah and wisdom are something that require discipline and require a person who is wise has to give counsel and so on and so forth. Same thing with nevuah, people are coming to the Navi to ask for the word of Hashem. Kas means that this person has lost control. If they lost control, then how in that position of authority can they be giving advice, or how can they be giving counsel in that situation? So when they get angry, they lose that ability to do it. It's taken away from them because they, in the state that they're in, they can't do it. So then they lose it. So there's midah keneged midah that happens. I say the same thing with haughtiness, the idea that nevuah and wisdom are lost to the person because that person assumes then it belongs to them. Which we say in the Navi, Ali Talel Chacham B'Chachmato. Chacham should not take praise for his Chachmato because it all comes from Hashem. It's not his. The fact that a person then becomes haughty about their chokhmah, becomes haughty about the nevuah, is an assumption that it belongs to them. It's theirs. And it's not coming from Hashem. It's not a gift from Hashem. It's not something that they're utilizing. Yes, they took the gift of Hashem and they used it in the right way. But nevertheless, to take something and to become haughty with it, they lose that gift in a sense. Hashem takes back the gift that he's given because you don't recognize that it's coming from Hashem and not from you. Now the Gemara continues. Amar mani bar patish kosh kois, afilu poskim alav gedula min hashamayim, moridim oto. Person who gets angry, even if he is in a position of leadership, even if he is a person that should have been one of the leaders of Klal Yisrael, taken down, gone. Minola. Where do we know this from? Eliyav. Eliyav is one of the brothers of David HaMelech. Which in Nehemiah, it says there, and not that he probably was off base here, but when he sees David HaMelech show up, they're here lining up in Emek Eilah, about 5 minutes from here. They're having the battle between the Plishtim with Shaul, with the Plishtim and the Bnei Yisrael, and they're lining up, and there's Goliath coming out, and he's cursing the Malachot Yisrael, making fun of them. He says, come on, somebody come out here and fight me. Where are you guys? You guys are all a bunch of wimps. You're not coming out here. So David Melech shows up all of a sudden in the middle of the battle. He comes to visit them. Now, all of his older brothers are in the battle. They're part of the army, and they're in the battle. His father has David's Debek, and he's supposed to be watching the Tzon. He's supposed to be the shepherd, taking care of the Tzon, because he's too young to be in the battle. So he's out there shepherding the sheep. Now he shows up at the battle scene, and he starts walking around in the battle scene, and he starts telling people, how could you listen to this guy? How could you let this guy go, yeah, curse, that's a Chilul Hashem. How come you guys are standing here idly by? You gotta go out there and fight him. So he's going out, he's riling up the people, and all of a sudden somebody gets wind of it. His brother, his older brother, Eliab, gets wind of it. And it says, Vayichar af Eliab David. Eliab gets angry at David. Vayomer, lama ze yaradta. What are you doing down here? Vamina tashtem atatzon ha'ena b'midbar. And who did you drop off all the tzon with in a small number of tzon in the midbar? So the coming down is because they came from Beit Lechem. They were in the Hare Yehuda, in the mountains of Yehuda. Here, Emek Eilah is the base of the mountains that come from Yehuda. So Vayarat means he came down. He came down from the midbar. He came down from the area where he was up above. So he says, Ani yadati etzdoncha betorah levavecha. I know what you did. Yeah, I know your story. I know what's going on in your heart. You came to see the battle. You wanted to be a part of it. Your curiosity and the excitement of the battle. You wanted to be in the middle of things. So you got angry at him. What are you doing over here? You don't belong here. So then when Shmuel is told by Hashem, go anoint the new king, he sends him to the Beit Yishai. And he goes to Beit Yishai, and then he first tries to do it with Eliab, and he does it with others. He says, V'lo b'zeh b'char Hashem. When all the brothers, it says, Hashem didn't choose this one. When it comes to Eliyav, don't look at his good looks or his height. I have rejected him. Now, mi'astihu is a very strong term, but it also has implications. Mi'astihu, to reject someone or to that I have disgusted with this person, means that until this point I had a different feeling. Meaning that there's a change in the sense of this individual. If you just say, I didn't choose this person, that's fine. Not choosing this person means simply that this isn't the person that I chose. When you say mi'astihu is an indication that at some point that this person had the potential, now I've rejected him. I mean, that's what's said by Shaul as well. Shaul, when Hashem says about Shaul, he says mi'astihu, Hashem has rejected you from being the king. So also over here, the mi'astihu is a rejection. Why was he rejected? Because at Edna, he was okay. Why was he okay until now and then he lost it? He got angry. Now the interesting problem with that is, you can even see it yourselves here, even without knowing Shmuel Aleph, is that the first pasuk we quote is from Shmuel Aleph Yud Zayin, Perak Yud Zayin, and the second pasuk we quote, the proof was from Shmuel Aleph Tet Zayin, which is that Mishichat David takes place prior in the Perak 16 versus Perak 17 where the battle is. So he got angry afterwards. So how come over there? So Rashi says, could argue that Ein Mukdamu Mukhar Bata or Al Shem Atid. Gan, what was the problem? We know there's a problem here with Eliyahu, because Hashem rejected him. Why did Hashem reject him? Well, that evidence comes up in the subsequent perek, which is that we have him get angry. And so Hashem knew that and understood that character trait of his, and therefore he rejects him from being the king because of that character trait, which manifests itself in the next subsequent perek in Yudzayin. I mean, the two perekim are difficult as it is, Tetzayin Yudzayin, because David and Shaul's interaction over here are somewhat difficult, because in both Prakim, Shaul meets David, but in different ways. And so the question is, how come Shaul doesn't know David in these Prakim here? So they are difficult Prakim to start with in terms of their order. But that's the way that we answer on behalf of the Gemara, that the order is not so important here. Okay, Ashkachan Tamid u Pesach the Dachu Shabbat. We found the garment Tamid and Pesach the Dachu Shabbat, the Dachu Tumah Min Alan. taking for granted now that they're also doche tuma. So Amri Gehe deal if Pesach mitamid linyan Shabbat, Akinami Elif Tamid be Pesach linyan tuma. So it's here. Where do we know that it's doche Shabbat? We learned that out from the Tamid itself. The Tamid, oh, that's a Tamid. Teaches you that the Tamid is Duchai Shabbat. From that we have Gzer Shabbat Mo'ado Mo'ado that teaches you that Pesach is also Duchai Shabbat. Now it's going to be in the reverse. We're going to know that Pesach is Duchai Tuma, and then we're going to take that over to Tamid through Mo'ado Mo'ado. Achanami Yalev Tamid VePesach Linyan Tuma. Pesach Gufei Minalan. How do you know Pesach itself is Duchai Tuma? Rabbi Yochanan Amar Kai, Ish Kiyet Tamid Nefesh. It says when an individual is Tamid Nefesh, then he goes to Pesach Sheni. Gemara Dashens, Ish Nidcheh Pesach Sheni, Vein Tzibur Nidachin Pesach Sheni. True. An individual is pushed out to Pesach Sheni, but if you have more than an individual, if you have a tzibur, they're not nidachim the Pesach Sheni. You gotta do it bituma, and then Mo'ado Mo'ado takes it over to the Korban Tamid. Again, I'm saying that this is according to the Tana who thinks that Mo'ado Mo'ado by itself is not enough. Gemara later on is gonna say Mo'ado, afilu b'Shabbat. Mo'ado, afilu bituma, and they darshan from the word Mo'ado itself. So that's a machlok and Tanaim as to what the source is for these items. Amalei Rabbi Shimon Lakish Rabbi Yochanan, Ema Ish Nidcheh LePesach Sheni, Tzibur LeHu Takanta. How do you know that that's the case? An individual pushes off to Pesach Sheni. The whole tzibur is tamei. Lo Pesach Rishon, lo Pesach Sheni. No Pesach Rishon, no Pesach Sheni. How do you know that your solution is right? It's from here. You have to send out of the machaneh, the tmeim. This is found in Parshat Naso, beginning of Sefer Bamidbar, that when you have the machaneh, all the tmeim have to be sent out. And it says here, kol tsarua, Zav and Tamei Nefesh, three different levels of Tuma. Tamei Meitz being the lowest level, then Zav being a higher level because it's Yotzei Migufa, and Tzarat, which is the highest level of Tuma, has to be Yeshei Badad Michutz LaMachaneh, has all other requirements. So Yomar Tamei Meitim, Vayomar Zavim Mutzarim. All you have to do is tell me about Tamei Meitz. Tamei Meitz has to go out of the Machaneh, then certainly at Tzarua and a Zav have to go out of the Machaneh, they're much more Chamur. But Yom Merim Tamei Meitim Ishtachim, Zavim Mutzarim, Lo Koshikein. You can't have this limud because there's a time period where it doesn't work. It was a time period where the Tmei Meitim stay in the Machaneh, but yet the Tzoraim and the Zavim have to leave. When's that? The Pesach Abba Bituma, when you make a Pesach Bituma, the Tzma'a that you're allowed to do with is Tmei Meit. Pesach is Doche Et Tumat Meit, but it's not Doche Et Tzoraim and Zavim. For that reason, if you just wrote about Tmei Meit, I wouldn't have known this din. Because here is a case where Tamei Meit is allowed to stay in the Machaneh, yet Mitzorim and Zavim still have to go out. So Marbaye, Ihochi, Leimanami. So let him say, Yumar Zav v'Tamei Meitim. V'ayumar Mitzorah. So all I need then is a Zav and a Tamei Meit. And not Mitzorah. V'ani Omer, Zav Mishtalech, Mitzorah, Koshukain. If a Zav sent out, then certainly Mitzorah can be sent out. So now what are you going to suggest? There's a time period where a Mitzorah is thrown out. But a Zav and a Tamei Meit stay in. Vezeh, when's that? Zeh Pesach Abba B'Tumah. What do you mean? That Pesach Abba B'Tumah, you're going to allow a Zav and a Tamei Meit to be there, but the Mitzorah is thrown out. V'chitei Ma'ochanan, you want to say, okay, yeah, that's the case. V'atznan, we have an explicit Mishnah, Pesach Abba B'Tumah, lo yochlu imenu zavim v'zavot nidot v'yolodot, that these people are precluded from joining into the Pesach Abba B'Tumah. Zav, Zavah, Nida, Yoledet. If they eat it, they're patur, because it's not a case where you have, it's tahor, and you have a tamei eating it, because it's tamei, they're paturim. But they don't eat, they don't participate in the Karban Pesach with Zav, so it's not true. Elam Abaye gives a third alternative, which is, Olam Mikra Kama. Go back to the original Pasuk that Rabbi Yochanan brought, which is Ish Ish. Imkein Tichtov Ramana Ish Ish Kiyet Tamei. The Pasuk should have just said Ish Ish Kiyet Tamei, and then it's Nidcheh the Pesach Sheni. The Nefesh Lomali. What do I need the extra word the Nefesh for? The word nefesh comes to teach you tamei meit who nidcheh lepesach sheni. That the only person who get pushed off to a pesach sheni is someone who's tamei meit, but other tameim don't get pushed off. Atanya, we have a brayta that says unlike that, which is yacholo yesim pesach sheni elo tamei meitim. You would think the only people that do pesach sheni are tamei meitim. Someone was too far away. Zavin, mitzoraim, bolei nidot minayin. Other people are tameim. How do we know they do pesach sheni? Tamlomar ish ish. No matter what, any person who is Tamei brings Pesach Sheni. So Nefesh Dertav Rachmano Lomali. So why do we have this extra word the Nefesh over here? Halachi Kamar. Ish Nidcheh the Pesach Sheni. Vein Tzibur Nidcheh the Pesach Sheni. That a person is pushed off the Pesach Sheni, but not the Tzibur. You have to do a Betumah. Now, v'chi avdei Tzibur Betumah, when they do a Betumah, Betamei Meit. That's what the Nefesh comes to teach us. The Nefesh is only about Tamei Meit. That's this way. V'ashur Tzimot lo avdei. But other tumot don't do a Pesach Rishon B'Tum'ah. So the exception, the nefesh here is not about who is nidcheh the Pesach Sheni, but it's rather for the diuk in the Pasuk. The pasuk says ish gets pushed off to Pesach Sheni, but a tzibur is not pushed off to Pesach Sheni. You would think ish pushed off to Pesach Sheni is only tamei mate. Then the Gemara rejects and says no, everybody is pushed off to Pesach Sheni. If you're tamei, any type of tumah, you're pushed off to Pesach Sheni. So then, what's the word nefesh come to teach you? It's the deal. Ish is pushed off to Pesach Sheni, but tzibur is not pushed off to Pesach Sheni. Which tzibur is not pushed off to Pesach Sheni? That's a tzibur of tamei mateim. But if they're a tzibur that has mitzora zavin, they are also pushed off to Pesach Sheni. They cannot bring Pesach Rishon. They are not included in a Pesach Haba Bituma. And what about the fact that Rish Lakish asked on Rabbi Yochanan before, how do you know that it means you should be nidchet the Pesach Sheni, the tzibur, and not just be no korban at all? The answer is because of this nefesh. The nefesh teaches you that there are some people that are and some people that aren't. It comes to exclude Mitzora and Zav. Well, what are you excluding Mitzora and Zav from? Obviously, it's not going to Pesach Sheni because they are included there. It must be in the case of Pesach Haba Bitumah that they're precluded. Well, if they're precluded, that means that someone is included. And who's included? Tamei Meit. That indicates to you that they do bring a Korban HaPesach Bitumah Bitzibur. Okay, we'll stop over here.